Dhamma Buddhaya. Good evening, everybody. I'm Dr. Wu from Seremban Sudama Buddhist Society. Tonight, I'll be the moderator for this talk by Sayalee Susila. I'll be assisted by Brother Xiao Yingwei and Brother Terence. So welcome to this talk by Sayalee Susila on what advice to be given to a dying person to become a noble one. We shall do a short puja before the start of the talk today. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. The three refuges. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanggang saranang gacchami. Dutiyam pi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyam pi nammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyam pi sanggang saranang gacchami. Tatiyam pi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyam pi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyam pi sanggang saranang gacchami. The five precepts. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Adinnadana veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Kamesu Vichachara veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Suramiraya madhyapamadattana veramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Imani pancha sikkhapadani samadhiyami. Imani pancha sikkhapadani samadhiyami. Imani pancha sikkhapadani samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So I would like to give a short introduction of Venerable Sayalee Susila. She's the founder and abbess of the Appamada Vihari Meditation Center, or called AVMC. Sayalee is an initially accomplished teacher as a result of a breadth of exposure and depth of practice of various meditation methods taught by renowned teachers like Venerable Pa'ao Sayadaw, Swanwumi Sayadaw, Mogok Sayadaw, Sagi, Wu Bankin, and Goyongka. Sayalee is well known for her gift to teach and present the profound Dharma vividness, precision, and clarity. Her teaching and emphasis on practicing the discourse on the four foundations of mindfulness is very much appreciated by students globally. Sayalee is an author of many books published in both English and Chinese. Her most well-known English book is Unraveling the Mysteries of Mind and Body through Abhidhamma, the second edition. Other books published in English included Mindfulness, Wise Attention and Wisdom, Contemplation of Feeling, Moment-to-Moment Practice, Inner Exploration, The Nine Attributes of the Buddha, The Path to Happiness, and Dharma Essence Series. Please refer to the AVMC website for the Chinese publication. So Sally will be the most appropriate person to talk to us tonight on this topic. What advice to be given to a dying person to become a noble one? Shall we all warmly welcome Sally with three times sadhu? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Over to you, Sally.
Okay, Sukihontu, sisters and brothers in the Dhamma. Okay. Okay, before I start the talk, according to Theravada tradition, we pay respect to the Buddha first. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Okay, so I made a slight change, to the topic. Today I would like to share with you a topic named What Advice to be Given to a Dying Person for Spiritual Attainment. Okay, and I think I personally feel this very important topic, and many people die of confusion. So as a Buddhist, if we know, some advices, some good advice can be given to a dying person, even it can be our friends or our parents or our relatives and so on, as long as they are the Buddhists, then we may help them to break through the Dhamma. Therefore, it's very important, it's essential for us to know what advice to be given to them. Okay. So here I quote from Sutta Samyutta Nikaya 55, which is Sotapatti, and Sutta 54. Samyutta Nikaya 55 and Sutta 54 called Gilana Sutta, the sick person. Okay. So the background of this sutta is that Buddha was staying in a town near Kapilavastu, in his hometown. And after three months rained retreat, 3 months of vasa, so Buddha was going to leave. And Mahanama is a Sakyan clan. He was a relative of the Buddha. So having heard that Buddha was going to leave, then he approached the Buddha and asked a question and said that, "But I haven't heard in the Blessed One's presence how a discerning lay follower who is deceased in pain, severely ill, should be instructed by another discerning lay follower." Okay, from here, there are a few points that I need to stress on. First, a listening lay follower who is sick. So it's not an ordinary lay follower, but a listening lay follower. So this listening lay follower means that he knows how to practice. He knows how to contemplate impermanence, suffering, and non-self. Therefore, he's called listening lay follower. Then, he should be instructed by another discerning lay follower. So those who give him instruction also must be a listening one. Now he himself, the one who give advice, to another dying person, he himself must know how to practice, how to contemplate, especially impermanence, suffering, and non-self. Or he must know at least how to practice jhana or vipassana. Okay? If he himself does not know how to practice vipassana, how is he going to give suitable or proper advice so that the dying person can break through the Dhamma, can attain higher attainment? Okay, so these are the two main points that I want to stress. The dying person must a discerning lay follower, and the one who give instruction also must be a discerning lay follower. I hear Buddha mentioned, sorry, here Mahanama mentioned lay follower. So it not necessarily be bhikkhu. It can be a discerning lay follower. Then Buddha answered, Mahanama, a listening lay follower who is deceased, in pain, seriously ill, should be reassured by another listening lay follower with four reassurances. Number one, be assured, friend, as you give the, you know, a lay follower give some instruction to the dying person. Then he say that, Buddha say that, be reassured, friend, that you are endowed with verified confidence in the awakened one. Means that you have confirmed faith in Buddha's nine qualities or nine attributes. Like itipiso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vicca Charana Sampanno. So the line attribute, make sure you have that faith in Buddha's nine qualities. It's the first one, first reassurance. The second one, you also must have endowed with verified confidence in the Dhamma. In the Dhamma. So Dhamma, there are six qualities of Dhamma, right? Swa kato bhagavata dhammo, sanditiko akaliko, ehipasiko opanayiko, pachatang veritabo vinyohiti. So these six qualities, make sure you have verified confident in the Dhamma. Then the third point, you must also endow with verified confident in the sangha. Supatipanno bhagavato sawaka sangho, ucupatipanno, sammecipatipanno, and so on. These are called unshakable faith in the triple gems. The next one, Buddha say again, be reassured, friend, that you have virtues that are appealing to the noble ones, untorn, unbroken, unspotted, liberating, praised by the wise, untarnished, leading to concentration. So if the dying person say that, oh, I have this for reassurance, I have verify confident in the Buddha, in the Dhamma, in the Sangha, and also I have this unbroken morality, then we can know he is Sotapan. Because these four qualities are called four factors of stream enterer. Anyone who possesses these four factors of stream enterer, no, anyone who become Sotapan possesses these four factors of stream enterer. So from his answer, from this sutta, this dying person, he answered that I have unshakable faith in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and unbroken virtues. That then he was a sotapanna. Okay. Then Buddha continued to ask, Mahanamma, when a discerning lay follower who is deceased in pain has been reassured, with this for reassurance, he should be asked, friend, are you concerned for your mother and father? From here, we can understand in the ancient India culture, they respect the parent, just like the Chinese culture, right? And so the dying person, if the dying person, their parents still alive, so they will have a lot of worry and concern about their parents. So the Buddha asked, friend, are you concerned for your mother and father? This question should be posed to the dying person. And one of the reasons why this question was posed to a dying person, because if the dying person has concern for his parent, then he cannot break through to higher attainment. So he has to let go of the concern of the parents first. This happened in Dikawu. Dikawu in some another sutta, Sanyutta Nikaya, 55.3, Dikawu Sutta. So when Dikawu, a young person, was going to die, he asked his father, Jyotika, to go and invite Buddha to come and visit him. So his father, Jyotika, quickly went to the monastery and invited Buddha. And the Buddha gives some advice to Dikawu. And first also Buddha say, do you have unshakable faith to the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and unbroken sila? Dikawu said, yes, now I'm reassured with this four. And Buddha, in order to, to help him to attain higher state, Buddha tried to explain to him that you need to cultivate another six qualities. But Dikawu said that, I hope my father, Jyotika, doesn't suffer anguish when I have gone. So you see, the Dikawu answered the Buddha in this way. So his mind is so concerned for his father, he cannot concentrate on what Buddha is going to say. Then Jyotika, the father, quickly said that, oh dear my son, Dikawu, don't focus on that. Don't focus on me. Come on, dear Dikawu. You should closely focus on what the Buddha is saying. Only then the Dikawu let go the concern of his father. Therefore, before a discerning lay follower to give any Dhamma to the dying person, he should ask whether you have any concern to your beloved one or not, especially your parents. If he answer yes, then Buddha continue to say, then he should be told, you, my dear friend, are subject to death. If you feel concern for your mother and father, you are still going to die. If you don't feel concern for your mother and father, you are still going to die. It would be good if you abandon concern for your mother and father. Right? Whether you're concerned or not, you are going to die. So why not let go? Let go of your concern of your mother and father. So Dikawu, after listening to his father say that, don't focus on me, focus on what Buddha is saying, then he let go of his concern for his father. Then Buddha, only then Buddha teach him the Dharma. Then he breakthrough and he attained higher state. Okay? Okay, so if the dying person said that, yes, okay, now I have let go my concern for my parents, then he should ask again. Friend, are you concerned for your wife and children? Those, their wife still alive, they still have young children, then he should be asked, are you concerned for your wife and children? If the dying person should say, I am concerned for my wife and children, then he should be told, you, my dear friend, are subject to death. Whether you feel concerned or not for your wife and children, you are going to die. It will be good if you abandon concern for your wife and children. Okay. So if he should answer, if the dying person should say that, okay, I have let go my concern for my wife and children, then he should be asked, next question. Friend, are you concerned for the five strings of human sensuality? Do you attach to the human enjoyment? The five strings of human sensuality. Okay, what are the five strings of human sensuality? They are sights, visible form, sights known by the eyes. They are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual arousing. This first, first string of human sensuality. And they are also sounds known by the ear. They are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual arousing, like sweet sounds, praise sounds, and so on. Then there are smells known by the nose that are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual arousing. And so there are tastes, like delicious food, delicious wine taste, known by the tongue. They are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, and so on. And they are also touch, like opposite touch, opposite sex touch, and also maybe soft touches, like sleeping on a very soft bed, the touch, and so on. So the touch known by the body, they are likable, desirable, agreeable, pleasant, sensual, arousing. So the five strings of human sensuality means the five sense object come to contact with the five sense door. They are likable, desirable, agreeable, and pleasant. So do you attach to this sensual sensuality? If he should say that, I am concerned for the five strings of human sensuality, then what will happen to him? If the dying person say, yes, yes, I am very concerned. I'm very concerned for the human enjoyment, for the five strings of human sensuality. Then what do you think? What will happen to this dying person? Most probably that he will be reborn again in a human world. If he is concerned about the human enjoyment, right? And because of concern, because of attached to the human sensuality, then he cannot achieve higher attainment. This happened to people who are strongly attached to coming back to human world again. So if this person say that, okay, I'm concerned for a five string of human sensuality, then he should be told again, friend, Divine sensual pleasures are more splendid and more refined than human sensual pleasures. It would be good if, having raised your mind above human sensual pleasures, you set it on the devas of the four great kings. Chatur Maharajika. Okay. So why not? Why stay in the human world? No, go higher. Set your mind on the deva, on the first deva realm. So there are six deva realm. Let me go one by one and have a look here. There are six deva realm. So first, Buddha said, you should let go of your concern for human sensuality, but set your mind on the realm of the four great kings. Then Buddha also asked him again. Later he said, yes, I am concerned for a realm of four great kings. Then Buddha said, let go of it. Set your mind on the realm of the 33 gods. Then one by one, Buddha said, let go of the lower realm. Go to the realm of the Yama gods. Then let go of it. Then set your mind on the realm of the delightful, Tushita, heaven. Then, if you are concerned of it, then let go. Set your mind on the higher realm of the realm of Nimanarati, the realm of Deva who love creations. Okay. Then if you say that, yes, I'm concerned about this realm, then Buddha said, let go of it. Set your mind on the highest Deva realm, that is the realm of Paranimitta Vasavati. This Deva realm, the gods in this realm, they can control the creation of the Deva from the Dimanarati. So, one by one, Buddha asked them to let go of the lower realm and set the mind on the higher realm, the higher Deva realm. However, and this thing only happened to those who understand the six Deva realms, right? For some people, they don't even know. They only know there is four great kings, there is Tavatingsa, the 33 gods, and there is Tushita. Always listen to Tushita, our coming Buddha, coming Buddha, Maitreya, may come from Tushita and so on. So we may only know three realms. The rest of the realm, we may not know. Or some people only know there's a heaven. They don't know the heaven is divided into six realms. Right? So for this type of people, you just ask, just instructed him, do you have concern for Deva realm, heavenly realm or not? If he say yes, then ask him to let go and go to higher realm again. However, here I would like to ask a question. Suppose the dying person attached to one of the Deva realm. So if his mind is set on one of the Deva realm, do you think that he will be reborn in the realm that he desires? Because this thing may happen to us, right? Before I die, let's say one of the follower of Buddhist Buddha died. Before he died, he may set on one to reborn in heaven. So do you think he will reborn in the realm that he desires? Some may say yes, some may say no. So I would like to quote another sutta to say, to reveal the answer. Okay. This sutta is from Majjhima Nikaya 120. The Sankharupapatti Sutta. Choice and reappearance. So Buddha said, furthermore, take a mendicant, mendicant mean a monk, take a monk who has faith, virtue, unbroken sila. Huh? Learning means pariyatti and patipatti. Learning Buddha's scriptures and practice accordingly. This is called learning. Not only learning the text without practice. Huh? Learning including learning and practice both together. Then generosity. He always offer, always give with the open hand. Whoever wants, he just give without any stinginess. So he's always generous. And wisdom. Here, wisdom means penetrate into arising and passing away. He has wisdom of understand the arising and passing away. Or he has the wisdom of understand the Four Noble Truths insightfully, not only theoretically. So if take a monk who has these five qualities, faith, virtue, learning, generosity, and wisdom, then they think, if only when my body breaks up after death, I will be reborn in the company of the gods of the four great kings, or in Tushita, or in the god of 33, or Tavatingsa, or in god of Yama, and so on. Whatever realms, there were realms that he desired. Huh? So he wished that he can be reborn in one of the Deva realms. Then they settle on that thought, stabilize that thoughts, and develop that thoughts. Those choices and meditations of theirs. So they choose to be reborn in four great kings, let's say, his choice. Then he meditate on that thoughts. How to be reborn in the Deva realm, you know, he keep meditate on that and practice accordingly and develop and cultivate like this, lead to rebirth there. So once he set the mind to be reborn in one of the realm, those choice and meditation of theirs developed and cultivated like this, then will lead to rebirth there. This is the path and the practice that leads to rebirth there. So in another word, if you wish to reborn in certain realm, then you develop and cultivate the way, the thoughts, that thoughts and that path to heaven, then you can be reborn there. But don't forget that you must be a one who has faith, virtue, learning, generosity, and wisdom. So this means that not everybody say that, oh, I wish to be reborn in heaven, I can be reborn in heaven. But when you have faith, virtue, learning, generosity, and wisdom, then you cultivate that thought to be reborn in one of the God, one of the Deva realm, then you cultivate that thoughts, stabilize it and develop it, then you can be reborn in whatever realm that you desire. Okay? Okay, let us come back to the So let us come back to this Deva realms. So if a dying person, if he already set his mind on one of the realm, they say Tushita realm, he want to reborn in the Tushita realm. Then, this happened to Anathapindika. Anathapindika, when he was dying, Venerable Sariputta came over to see him and admonish. I give him a very profound Dhamma teaching, ask him to let go the clinging, the grasping to the eyes, to the five sense door, five sense object, to the four elements, to the five aggregates of clinging, and let go of what this world and next world, or let go of whatever you think, you thought, or you explore your mind, explore and so on. Huh? But another pindika, you know, after listening to this profound teaching from Venerable Sariputta, fail to attain higher state. For what reason? I think they have, I guess there are two reasons for this. Huh? Number one, because he already set his mind to be reborn into Shiva heaven. Secondly, his mind is not matured. His wisdom is not matured yet to become Arahant. Because what Sariputta taught him one is to become Arahant, non-grasping whatsoever. But another Pindika set his mind to reborn in Tushita heaven, so he has no inclination and his wisdom may not be matured to attain Arahantship. So after that, another Pindika who was Sotapan, reborn in Tushita heaven. Okay, so for this reason also, why Buddha say, let go of your concern for any Deva realms. So if a dying person say that, okay, yes, I have let go of that concern for Deva realm, then he should instruct it again. It would be good if having raised your mind above the last Deva Rama, Paramita, Vasavati, Devas, you say it on the Brahma world. But this, you know, in order to set the mind on the Brahma world, you need to cultivate or you need to have jhana. Without jhana, let's say in the human world, you have never practiced jhana. So during dying moment, you want to set your mind on the Brahma world, it's not possible. It can be possible, but you know, it's difficult. But for those who have jhana, during dying moment, if a discerning lay follower tell you that, okay, let go your mind to Deva realm, let go your concern for Deva realm, raise your mind above the Deva realms and set it on the Brahma world. Then focus on your breathing. So then the dying person may focus on the breathing, and from that he may enter the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, and fourth jhana, whatever jhana he desires. Then if he die at that moment, they say if he die at the first jhana, with the attainment of first jhana, then he may be reborn in the first jhana Brahma world. If he die at the second, on the attainment of second jhana, then he may die in the second jhana Brahma world and so on. But for those who have no jhana at all, then it may be difficult for him to set the mind on the Brahma world. Okay, so shall we stop short on Brahma world? Because in the 31 plane of existence, Brahma world is the highest, right? Shall we stop short on that? Of course not, right? So in the another sutta we call Dana Jani Sutta, Majjhima Nikaya 97. So Venerable Sariputta also invited to go and see a Brahmin, a dying Brahmin. And Venerable Sariputta know this Brahmin love Brahma world. He respect Mahabrahma very much. So with that intention, then Venerable Sariputta instructed him through a similar sequence of reflections. First, he said that, do you attach to your parents, your wife and children? attached to Deva, then finally say that let go of that, then set your mind on the Brahma world. But Venerable Sariputta stop short on the Brahma world, thinking that you know this Brahmin like Brahma, like Mahabrahma, then let me lead him to Brahma world. So after that he leave, Venerable Sariputta left after giving his instruction to the dying Brahmin, and that Brahmin was reborn in Brahma world. However, Venerable Sariputta was later reproached by the Buddha for having done so. Buddha told him that, why not you bring him to become a noble one? Why you stop short on the Brahma world? So, therefore, Brahma world is not our destination. Huh? Then if he should say that, oh, my mind is set on the Brahma world, then he should be told again, friend, even the Brahma world is inconsistent. Inconsistent is impermanent, changing, including in self-identity. What is self-identity? Self-identity means identify the five aggregates, the form aggregate, the feeling aggregate, the perception aggregate, and formation aggregate, and consciousness aggregate, as I, my, myself. It's called self-identity. So, Buddha said, friend, even the Brahma world is inconsistent. Although the lifespan in Brahma world is very long, but it's still impermanent. Is still subject to change and also included in self-identity. So it will be good if having raised your mind above the Brahma world and direct it to the cessation of self-identity. This is the highest admonishment that Buddha gives. So, okay, let go. Let go, because let go of the Brahma world. Direct your mind to the cessation of self-identity. So what is this cessation of self-identity? Okay, cessation of self-identity in Pali is called Sakkaya Nirodha. Sakkaya Nirodha. Okay. Sakkaya, let me see the compound word now. Sakkaya is a compound of sat. Sat means existent or exist. Kaya means body. But body in Pali word now, kaya. In Pali word, kaya got two meanings. We call nama kaya and rupa kaya. Another word, mind and body. Kaya mean not as we understand as body only, but kaya means nama kaya and rupa kaya. So my body and material body is called kaya. So nama material body and mental body that constitute the empirical person, that constitute us as a person, is called mental body and kaya. Mental body and physical body constitute us as a person. But with the so sakkaya mean the composite of the five aggregates subject to clinging. So Sakkaya Ditthi, Sakkaya Ditthi identity view. So what actually exists is mental body and physical body. It's called Sakkaya. But if you add Ditthi, wrong view. So wrong view, then wrongly think what actually exists which is mental body and physical body as self, as a permanent self, is called Sakkaya Ditthi. Here called Sakkaya Nirodha, cessation of self identity, mean Nama Rupa, mind and body come to cessation. So direct your mind towards cessation of Namakaya and Rupakaya. This is called cessation of self identity. However, before we can, you know, the cessation of the complete cessation of mental body and physical body is already Arahant state, right? However, before we go into that final destination, there are six contemplation can help one to realize this cessation of self-identity. What are the six contemplation? So we come back to the Dikkhawut Sutta, Dikkhawut Sutta, from Sanyutta Nikaya 55.3. As I said just now, when Dikkhawut is, you know, is very concerned about his father Jyotika, then his father said, "Oh, don't concern for me. Don't have concern. Don't focus on me. Please focus on what Buddha is saying." Then Buddha continued to teach. He said that in that case, Dikkhawu, grounded on these four factors of stream entry, because Dikkhawu said that he has the four factor of stream entry. There is unshakable faith to the triple gem and unbroken sila. Then Buddha said that, grounded on these four factors of stream entry, you should further develop these six things that play a part in realization. Now I know you are Sotapan. Now, if you can further develop these six things that can bring you to higher attainment, this is what Buddha mean. Huh? So you should meditate, number one. So there are six things that can help you to make further progress. Number one is observing the impermanent of all formations. Here formation in here is mean five aggregates of clinging. So especially during dying moment, right? A lot of feelings, unpleasant physical bodily feeling. So they may have very painful feeling. So you should observe impermanent of your feeling or of your concern, your thoughts. Contemplate impermanent of your thoughts or of your feelings. It's called observing the impermanent of all formations. Or whatever, you know, whatever your decision or your thoughts or your perception, try to contemplate them as impermanent. Okay. Then, number two, perceiving suffering in impermanent. Buddha constantly say, what is impermanent? Is it sukha or dukkha? Is it happiness or suffering? Suffering, of course. So being oppressed by impermanent, that is suffering. Therefore, perceiving suffering in impermanent. Whatever impermanence you see in the five aggregates, in the body, and mind, also try to see is suffering. Okay, number three, perceiving non-self in suffering. So if you understand, if you already perceive the impermanent, and also you already perceive suffering in impermanence, so what is suffering and what is impermanent and suffering? There's no self, no one control that process. There's no permanent self that control the impermanent process or suffering process, right? So try to see that non-self, permanent self that in that suffering. Number four, perceiving abandonment, pahana sanya. Abandon of what? Abandon or giving up the defilement, especially craving. So try to, when you see enough impermanent suffering and non-self, then you can abandon the attachment to the five aggregate, or another word, you can abandon the attachment to mind and body. Only then you can break through higher state of attainment, right? So perceiving abandonment or perceiving fading away, viraga sanya. Viraga, raga means lust. Vi is without lust. So you should perceive fading away of your lust towards your mind and body. Okay. Then the last one, perceiving cessation, nirodha sanya. Perceiving the cessation of identity. You should try to contemplate or perceive the nama rupa come to cessation, come to complete cessation, that is, which is also nibbana, right? So if you can, before you reach the completely complete self, cessation of self identity, it is good that you continue develop these six things first. Observing the impermanence of all formations, perceiving suffering in impermanence, perceiving non-self in suffering, perceiving abandonment, pahana sanya, perceiving fading away of the lust, lust of mind and body, viraga sanya, and perceiving cessation of namarupa, perceiving cessation of mind and body, which is nibbana or nirodha sanya. Okay? So if you instructed the dying person to direct his mind to the cessation of identity, and if he were to say thus, my mind has turned away from the Brahma world and is directed to the cessation of self-identity and achieve that, then the Buddha said, then Mahanama, there is no difference between a lay follower who is thus liberated in mind and a monk who has been liberated in mind for 100 years. I mean, if you die, as arahant, then same as the monk who has become arahant for 100 years already. There's no difference between the one liberation and the other. Whether you are bhikkhu or you are lay person, once you become arahant, you achieve the cessation of self-identity, then you are fully liberated. There's no difference between the one liberation and the other. Okay, so this is the last advice that given to the dying person. So this ends the discourse. So from here, I have a question to ask. What hinders a dying person for higher attainment? Now suppose we are going to die, but we cannot become a noble one. We die as an ordinary person, or we die without breakthrough higher attainment. So what hinders us? What hinders a dying person for higher attainment? From what we have just discussed, we know there are a lot of attachment or concern, worry. First, maybe attachment or worry for our beloved one. It can be our parents, our wife or husband. It can be our children. So we have to let go our concern and attachment for them, because we are going to die. Whether you're concerned for them or not concerned for them, you are going to die. So what's important is to focus on the Dhamma before you die. Okay? So some people may not have concern for their beloved one, but they have concern to come back to the human world again. So they want to come back to human world to enjoy human sensuality, the five sense object, which is pleasant and delightful to them. So this also will hinder a dying person for higher attainment, unless he let go of that attachment or craving, or clinging to the to come back to the human world again. Then he may also, you know, has attachment on Deva realm. He may want to reborn in Deva like Ananta Pindika. Ananta Pindika die and reborn in Tushita. Ananta Pindika was given a very good advice, instruction during dying moment. Still, he cannot break through any higher attainment because he attached to be reborn in Deva realm. Okay. Some may has attachment to be reborn in Brahma world. So all this attachment hinder us, hinder a dying person for higher attainment, or hinder a dying person to become a noble one also. Okay. Here I want to quote some, you know, main point from Majjhima Nikaya 143. That is advice to Ananta Pindika. This is one of my favorite sutta. I love very much this sutta. And when Ananta Pindika was, you know, was seriously ill, then he asked his follower to go and invite Venerable Sariputta to come to see him before he died. Okay. So Venerable Sariputta said, I come, Kim, and give him instruction in this way. Venerable Sariputta said, that's why, householder, you should train like this. I shall not grasp the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. I mean, six sense door. And there shall be no consciousness of mind dependent on them. This very important sentence. If you grasp the eye, or nose, or tongue, or body, or mind, then your consciousness will be dependent on what you are grasping, what you are attached to. So if your consciousness is dependent on what you are attached to, then the rebirth will take place. You are not going to become, the rebirth will continue. Therefore, before dying, must make sure no consciousness of you shall depend on anything. So this is the advice given by Venerable Sariputta. So his instruction to Ananta Pindika is no grasping whatsoever. Because Venerable Sariputta intended to bring Ananta Pindika to arahantship. Therefore, his instruction is very detailed and non-grasping whatsoever. So let us have a short discussion here. So he said that no, you should not grasp or should not attach to six sense object. You should not attach to six contacts, eye contact, ear contact, nose contact, and so on. You should not attach to six feeling born of six contacts. Can be pleasant, unpleasant, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Born of six contact of eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body, and so on. And you should not attach to the six elements. Apart from the earth, water, fire, wind, there's also space element and mind element. You should not attach to them. Then you should not attach to five aggregates of clinging. And also, you should not attach to this world. This world means human world and other world beyond human world. Okay. And lastly, he said that you should train yourself. I shall not grasp whatever is seen, heard, thought, known, attained, sought, and explored by my mind. And there shall be no consciousness of mine dependent on that. As I said before, once your consciousness depends on, let's say, on your feeling, on your pleasant feeling, or on your painful feeling, then new consciousness will arise. When there's new consciousness, there is new rebirth. So make sure your no consciousness of you should dependent on either five aggregate or feeling or sense object and so on. So this is the advice given by Venerable Sariputta to Ananda Pindika. There is full liberation through non-grasping. How? So when Ananda listened, when Sariputta finished his talk, Ananda Pindika shed his tears. And he said that, I follow Buddha for so long. Never have I heard such profound Dhamma. So he shed tears because of joy. Although he cannot break through to higher attainment, but he was very touched by Venerable Sariputta's profound talk. And Venerable Sariputta said that this type of Dhamma is not to given, is not to be given to a person clothed in white. I mean that this Dhamma is only given to the bhikkhu, not to the lay person, because it's full liberation through non-grasping whatsoever. Okay, so finally, what we want to say is that how a dying person, what advices to be given to a dying person for higher spiritual attainment or for to become a noble one? That is, the instruction must be not concerned for beloved one, not concerned for to be reborn in human or deva and so on. So the instruction should be directed to non-attachment whatsoever. And the instruction should be given to dying person, lead them to cessation of identity. A cessation of identity. Lead them to see the impermanent. Lead them to, before reaching the cessation of identity, they have to see the impermanent of formation and see the suffering of impermanent and see non-self in suffering and try to see and try to perceive, try to practice abandonment, try to practice giving up of that craving or attachment or grasping, or try to let go that craving for life. Because so many people, all ordinary person attached to life. So in order to break through higher attainment, we have to let go the craving for existence, craving for life. Then finally, only we reach the cessation of identity, which is arhatship. These are the advices that a discerning lay follower should instruct another sick discerning lay follower for higher attainment or for becoming a noble one. So here, hope you all learn how to give, after this discussion, you all learn how to give proper instruction to dying person for their benefit. That's end of my talk. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, Saleh, would you like to answer the first question?
Okay, can you read?
The first question is, what is the best way to prepare for death when we are healthy? How can we stay focused on Dhamma when we are very scared and in extreme pain while dying?
Okay, so when you are healthy, when you are healthy, you should cultivate more wholesome deed. It's called prerequisite for you to have better death. Huh? So you can do more first, dana. Generosity, offer food to the monks, or do some charity, or to support the poor, or, you know. So first, dana. Second, when you are healthy, keep sila. Keep five sila, five precepts. Not killing, not telling lies, no sexual misconduct, no stealing and not taking any intoxicant that can make your mind confused. Okay. Number three, you can do some meditation practice. Learn. Now meditation practice is very common even in Malaysia, not to speak in USA. Huh? So there are so many meditation retreats going on. So you should learn at least one or two meditation subjects. It can be mindfulness of breathing, because before dying, you know, if you know how to meditate on your breathing, then you can have very calm death. So learn anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing, or learn metta meditation. This is called samatha meditation. But that's not enough, I think. So you should also learn how to contemplate impermanent of your feeling. Recall, vedanu pasana satipatthana, contemplation of your feeling. Why I emphasize on feeling? Because as you say, when during dying, there are so many painful feeling, extremely pain while dying, or very scared, all these are called feeling. Huh? So if you learn while you are healthy, if you learn Satipatthana Sutta, Satipatthana, there's one called contemplation of feeling. If you learn how to contemplate your painful feeling, or happy feeling, or whatever feeling that arises, if you learn that, master the skill, then during dying moment, you will know there's a lot of pain, you know, a lot of pain in your body. So you learn, you must, and then when you are healthy, you already learn, then you know how to contemplate your painful feeling while dying. Then that contemplation of feeling as impermanent, suffering and non-self may bring you to become a noble one, or may bring you to higher attainment. If you learn how to contemplate unpleasant feeling during dying moment. So while you are healthy, please do more dana, keep sila, learn anapanasati or metta, and learn how to contemplate unpleasant feeling. So when during dying moment, even you have extreme pain, you still know how to contemplate. You know, if you don't know how to contemplate, then before dying, invite some follower, lay follower, listening follower to guide your mind. Or invite any monk to come to visit you and to guide your mind to the proper channel, to the proper way, in proper way of. Okay. Number two, can you read Dr. Wu?
Sadly, if we know we can't be liberated due to not sufficient practice of meditation, can we concern about the Deva realm instead of no concern of anything?
Yes, of course. Of course. So if you have no sufficient practice of meditation, or even you don't have sufficient confidence that you can be liberated during dying moment, so you can focus your mind on the Deva realm. Yes. Then also with the wish, you focus in the Deva realm with the wish that you can continue to practice in Deva realm. Because in Deva realm, there's a lot of sensual enjoyment, more than in human realm. So if you're reborn in Deva realm, you only enjoy sensual pleasures. And when your lifespan of Deva expired or exhausted, you will be you will fall down from the Deva. I don't know where you will take reborn. So you can focus your mind to reborn in Deva realm and add in another wish to continue the practice. Okay, next.
What exactly do one say to a person who is dying? And what parita are prayers to chant for that to calm him and her?
Okay, so if you want to say, want to say to a person who is dying, don't arouse any of his attachment. First, avoid anything that can cause her attachment and worry. Okay. Secondly, you should remind all the good deeds that he has done. I think everyone has done some good deed, you know. If he's a Buddhist, maybe you remind him the triple gem, the quality of the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, or remind him the dana he had performed, or the five precepts that he had observed for so far. All this one are good things that can bring him to be reborn as a human or as a deva. Okay. And what parita prayer to chant for that to calm him mind? Any parita that he likes to listen, for example, Metta Sutta, can, Bojanga Sutta, you know. But if he doesn't know the meaning, may not be so meaningful. So at least he must understand the meaning of that parita, that then he can arouse his joy and happiness. So he himself, dying person, at least must know one sutta. Then you can chant that sutta for him to calm him and calm her. Okay? Next.
So, thank you for your teaching. I would like to I think, practice this thought every night before I sleep. If I were dying because I may die alone, what should I tell myself?
As if I were dying, because I may die alone. Yeah, what should I tell myself? I think the best thing is to focus on your breathing. Because at that time, your mind, if you die alone, you may have scared or fear, you know, and the mind cannot function very properly. The easy way is to focus on your breathing. Therefore, you have to learn Anapanasati first. It's the most easy way because the breathing is always with us. So while you are still healthy now, right? So you can always cultivate the habit, go back to your breathing. Even you are healthy, even you go to, you know, go for walking, go to bus, go for shopping, as much as you can, try to focus on your breathing. So make it a habit. So whenever, when you are sick or going to die, then your habit will force you to go back to your breathing. So if you die while focusing on your breathing, you will be reborn if without jhana. Huh? If without jhana, you will be reborn as human again or in the heaven. But if with jhana, of course, you will reborn in Brahma world. Okay, so I think this is the most easy way. Or you can remind, what should I tell myself? If your mind is still clear, without fear, then you can recall all the good deeds that you have done. If you think you cannot remember, you can record it verbally, audio with audio in your phone. In your phone, because nowadays everybody, you know, keep the phone with them. So before dying, you play all the good deeds that you have recorded, lah. So in what day I have done this good thing, in what day I have go for meditation retreat, and what day I have done dana. So record it down. So when you are going to die, play back what you have recorded, then your mind will be full of happiness and joy and die in a good way. Okay? Next.
How to help a dying person that is in a state of semi-conscious as the person is dying?
Sometimes when you think people is semi-conscious, they are conscious. They just cannot talk only. Right? So I think you still have to tell good thing, no? Tell good thing, reminded him all the good deeds that he has done. Although he looks like, you know, not conscious or semi-conscious, but I think he still can hear one. It just can he just can't talk only. So you just tell, reminded all the good thing he has done, or play or chant. If he's a Buddhist, a devoted Buddhist, like you can chant Itibiso, the triple gem, the quality of triple gem. Chant, keep chanting this sound. Good quality, the nine attribute of the Buddha, the six quality of the Dhamma, and so on. So he can focus. He cannot talk, ma, but at least he can focus his mind. Okay, this way you can help him. Okay, next.
Do you have to guide the dying patient in the same order as mentioned as in the different levels of Nirvana?
Nirvana is only one, huh? There's no different level, huh? Different level, level. So no, you. I think Nirvana there's only last, huh? So I think what you want to say is, huh? Same order as mentioned as in different levels of, you know, from Deva, from Brahma, you know, up to Nirvana. Not necessary, but because some people may attach to, you know, some people may attach to Deva realm. So when you want to tell Dhamma to them, want to guide them, but they might focus on Deva realm, then they cannot focus on what you say. Like Dika Wu, as I mentioned. So Buddha trying to bring him to higher attainment, but his mind only focused on his father. Therefore, he cannot focus on the Dhamma. This is the reason why this is the reason why Buddha you should guide the dying person one by one. Because sometimes he attached to certain things that we do not know, because we cannot read his mind. So we beside him and keep telling the Dhamma, but his mind is focused on something else, right? Then what the Dhamma we instructed to him, it like, you know, fall onto the deaf ear. He cannot pay attention to what we say. So this is the one of the reason why should we guide him one by one. No? Do you have attachment to this one? If no, go ahead until final cessation of identity. Okay, next.
I still don't get what you mean by non-attachment.
Non-attachment, because we have a lot of attachment in our life, right? We have attachment to our beloved one, to our property, to our mind and body, and we have attachment to reborn in heaven again. Now, non-attachment is just opposite. Don't attach to your beloved one, because Buddha said, whether you attach or not, you are going to die. Now, the most important is focus on, a good end of your life. Because if you attach before dying, you attach to the beloved one, it doesn't bring you any good. You may even become a hungry ghost because of that attachment to the beloved one. And because strong attachment to the beloved one, then you become hungry ghost that you stay near the house so that you can see your beloved one every day. This possible, this in the sutta is mentioned in the Peta, I think Peta story. So non-attachment means let go your concern. Let go your concern to your beloved one. Let go your concern let go your concern of wanting to enjoy the human pleasure again. If you are practitioner, if you are non-practitioner, okay, you can set your mind on reborn in Deva. Attached to Deva realm, no problem. Okay? But if you are listening lay follower and you aim to become full liberated, you aim for full liberation, then non-attachment whatsoever. Okay, next one.
If you are not the decent person, can we give advice for a dying person?
Yes, of course. You just cannot bring them to higher attainment only. You can, if you are not a discerning person, you yourself don't know how to practice, how to contemplate impermanent of your feeling, right? So you will never know how to instruct them one. So then you remind them the good deed they have done, all the good deed they have done, or you can, you know, advise them to focus the mind on the Buddha's quality, or Dhamma quality, or Sangha quality, and so on, or his generosity. You can remind him of his generosity, the dying person's own generosity. Let him have joy and happiness. Yes, you can do that. Okay.
If at dying, if he chant Namo Amitabha, also with the help of members chanting beside the bed continuously, can he be reborn to the Amitabha Pure Land?
This is Mahayana question, because we are not following the Amitabha Pure Land, so I definitely cannot tell sure for you, because I'm not familiar with that school of teaching, so I cannot answer you correctly. I'm sorry for that. Okay, next one.
How can someone achieve non-attachment on their deathbed with a busy mind, unlike in deep meditation?
That's why you need somebody to guide you, no? You need to invite. That's why Buddha say how a lay for discerning lay follower should instruct the another lay follower, huh? How can someone achieve non-attachment on their deathbed with a busy mind? How you know it's a busy mind? Fearful mind, maybe. Fearful mind, not a busy mind. You know? Fear of death. Huh? So you need, that's why you need to invite somebody. If you have no confidence that you can handle your own debt well, so invite somebody that you know. Ananda Pindika, although he is a noble one already, he also invite Venerable Sariputta to come over. Like Bhikkhu, just now I mentioned one. Huh? He also invited Buddha to come and see him before he's dead. So if you think you can't handle your own death properly, you can invite somebody to come and help you. So by listening to the Dhamma he say, you can focus your mind. Your mind will not go wild or become restless. Okay. During Buddha's time, many people during dying become Arahant or become noble one. So because we know yet die, we may not know what is that experience, right? So, but during dying, you know, many people open up the wisdom and become a noble one. So it's possible that somebody, if it guide you in the Dharma, you can break through and become a noble one. So you need the help of others. Okay, next.
So let's say, how to attain Nibbana at that?
Buddha just now mentioned already.
Yeah.
Contemplate the six contemplation. Contemplate impermanent of your feeling. Contemplate suffering in the impermanent, contemplate non-self in the suffering, then contemplate letting go of the attachment, contemplate cessation of nama rupa. Just now, I already mentioned. Okay.
Silently, in Deva realms, which realms can continue practice and contemplate Dhamma until Nibbana?
I think any realm you can, as long as you incline your mind. Whatever Deva realms, for example, Tawatingsa, the realm of 33 gods. Then Sakka, the lord of the 33, he is Sotapan. And in that Tawatingsa realm, there is one Dhamma hall also. So if you reborn there, you can meet with Sakka. Then Sakka can teach the Dhamma because he's a Sotapan. He knows how to practice. He knows how to contemplate Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta, right? So then you can choose the Tawatingsa, the god of 33, and then you make aspiration to meet with Sakka to listen the Dhamma talk preached by him. Then you may, if your parami is matured, then you can become, you can attain, you can attain Nibbana in Deva realm. So make aspiration that whatever realm you reborn, you have chance to listen to the Dhamma, especially has the chance to listen to how to contemplate Anicca Dukkha Anatta until you become, until you attain Nibbana. Make such wish. And then your wish can be fulfilled if you have faith, if you have virtues, if you have learning, if you have generosity, and then your wish can be fulfilled. Okay, next one.
Silent. Follow up to this question. Some will say if you were born in Tusita, were better in Taustimsa or even Satu Maharajika because there is less infighting there compared to in Tusita. Is it correct?
that I do not know. but at least I know in the God Tawadingsa, we know Saka is Arya. Saka is Sotapan. But in Tusita, we reborn there, we also don't know who is Sotapan there. nobody will put a label on a head and a forehead, say that I am Sotapan, right? I am Sakadagami. No one will claim like that. So if we were born in, let's say, Maharajika, Satu Maharajika, we may not know who is Arya also. But at least Tawadingsa, we know Saka is Arya. So you can make a wish to meet with him, listen to his talk, you know, associate with him, then and become... I mean, they have fighting there. I think there's fighting there, but I think other realm also, there's fighting one. Because as long as you have defilements, you have greed, anger, and delusion, they will be fighting anywhere. Mm. Okay, next.
So thank you very much, Sayale. As children, how can I help my parents who knows nothing about Dharma during his or her last breath?
Then reminded all the good deeds he had done. Even though he is no Dharma, at least he had done something good, right? So as your children, you should know your parents' good quality, or he has done something good, he has performed some charity, you know, remind them the good deed they have done. That's what you should do before they die. Okay? Or last minute also, you can ask them to take the three refuge in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, even, you know, also can. Although they may not understand so well Buddha Dhamma Sangha, in the last breath before they are dying, so ask them, can you take Buddhang Saranang Gacchami? Can you believe in Buddha Dhamma Sangha? No? If they can, then this also very very good for them. Okay, next one.
Good evening, Saile. How about a dementia person while he's dying? He has no any idea or desire. Does that mean he'll be going to higher attainment?
if he will be going to higher attainment, everybody, I mean, all of us want to become dementia. Dementia. yeah. No, definitely no. Okay. To go to higher attainment, you need to contemplate Anicca Dukkha Anatta. Okay, next question.
If one is in extreme pain before that, how does one enter jhana in that state?
So if you cannot enter jhana, then contemplate unpleasant feeling as impermanent, as suffering, as non-self. Right? Yeah, you have two choices. If you can enter, you enter into jhana. If you cannot enter into jhana, you can contemplate that pain as impermanent, as suffering, as cause and condition. Because depend on the body, the pain arises. So you contemplate body also impermanent. How can be the feeling that arises depend on the body be permanent? If you can contemplate in this way and die, maybe you can go to higher plane of existence, or you can even break through to become a noble one. Therefore, I keep telling, learn how to contemplate unpleasant feeling while you are healthy. Learn the skill, then when come to when dying, then you know how to practice. Next.
Dear Saile, do we have Western or Eastern Pure Land in Theravada tradition? Israel.
Do we have Western and Eastern parent? What is Western Eastern parent? Western parent, I know la, 西方净土. 还有东方净土吗? Eastern means 东方净土. Then there's no such thing in Theravada tradition. Huh? Okay, next.
If just have faith in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and follow the five precepts, I think it means very sufficient on it.
Sufficient of what? To reborn in what? I think the question is not complete. Can you we skip this question? If you want to ask, please give me a complete question. Huh? Okay, next one.
So the other one, I think they rephrase. Do we have to guide the sick patient in order of the different levels of Deva realms and then Brahma realms and finally Divana?
Do we have to guide a sick person in order of different level of Deva realms? If he has no jhana, definitely no need to guide through the Brahma realm, right? Not everybody got jhana one. Yeah. So you should ask them any concern about their beloved one first. If they know, then if they go their concern, then guide them to the Deva realm. Yes. If they have no jhana, then you can skip jhana one. No, if they don't have jhana, you can skip Brahma realm. No jhana cannot reborn in Brahma realm. Yes, next.
Is letting go through understanding and wisdom? If so, then chanting may not help except to recall what needs to be understood.
Is letting go through understanding? Yes, letting go. Okay, letting go of what? Usually we say letting go means letting go of attachment. Attachment to what? Attachment to the beloved one and attachment to one's mind and body. We call letting go. And this type of letting go, yes, you need to practice contemplate of impermanent and really see impermanent of your mind and body. Only then you can achieve real letting go. Not only mouth say, oh, letting go. No. You can achieve real letting go only by seeing correctly, seeing rightly, you know, your feeling, your thoughts, and your body are really impermanent. When you really see impermanent, then you can let go. Right? Chanting is calming your mind. It's not if you can, you know, certain chanting talk about anicca dukkha anatta, impermanent suffering, non-self. Then if you can follow that chanting to go back to your mind and body and contemplate impermanent suffering and non-self, yes, then that type of chanting is helpful. But certain chanting is only for blessing. That type cannot open up the wisdom one. Okay, next one.
If he does not have enough good virtues, merits, or meditation, he still cannot get reborn in the Deva realm, right? So how much level of virtues is needed?
Even generosity, I mean generosity plus virtues. Virtues mean five precepts are necessary. If you can keep five precepts, I mean not to a state of unbroken, no? To a state of unbroken is sotapan level already. So if you can practice more generosity, offering food or necessity to the monastic or to the poor or to the needy, then plus you keep the five precepts. Try not to break on in, right? So if you break any one of the precepts, then you take again, purify again that precept by taking it again. Then you can aim to become, to be reborn in Deva. That can be done very easily. Okay?
Sadly, if a person focuses his mind to get liberated, what will happen to the person if his virtues and merits fall short and unable to attain Nibbana?
Even in a dying person, in a dying moment, even in a dying moment, you re-establish your virtues. That's also important. You know, even your virtue in a daily life, no, sometimes you know your virtues of merit fall short. But during dying moment, you can establish, you recite the five precepts again, you know, and practice contemplation anicca dukkha anatta of your feeling, you still can be liberated if you have enough parami. Okay? No worry about that. Huh? So important, during dying moment, you re-established your virtue again. You recite the five precepts again. Then focus on contemplation of anicca dukkha anatta of your feeling or of your body or of your thoughts. Then if your wisdom matured, you can be liberated. Okay, next one.
He who has attained sotapan stage has not more than seven lives. The new seven assistants are in six human or deva realms and brahmas. What is choice before final liberation?
He who has attained sotapan stage has not more than seven lives. The new assistant, the seven, I think the new seven assistant are not necessarily all in human realm or deva realm, as I understand. Are in human realm, they are, okay, yeah, and Brahma, yeah, yes. What his choice before final liberation? What's his choice? What's his choice is depend on him, bro. He can choose, ma. If he got jhana, he can choose his he can choose in Brahma world before final liberation. If he has no jhana, he don't want to go to Brahma world, he can choose Deva realm as his final liberation. Up to him, he can choose himself. Okay? Okay, next one.
So, Sayale, the first advice is to tell the dying person he has verified confidence. AKA he is a stream enterer. How does the other person know this?
Okay, so this is what he asked for. Do you endow with verified confidence in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and Sila? If this person said yes, then he's sotapan. If this person said that I have faith in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, but my faith is not unshakable like sotapan, right? Then he's not a sotapan. So he got to ask, ma. He got to ask the person whether his faith is unshakable or shakable. Then the person who has become sotapan, one, he know one, he has unshakable faith. Then he will say, I have unshakable faith in Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. And I never, if he's sotapan, he will say, I never break my sila. By asking, they'll get an answer. Okay, next.
How to tell to one who is not a decent so that he or she will attain the lowest attainment at the time of death?
How to tell the one who is not a discern? If the one dying person, he does not know how to discern, especially anicca dukkha anatta, do not know how to discern the impermanent suffering and non-self, I think it's not possible he can attain any lowest attainment at the time of death. That's not possible, I think. So he must be a discerning one. Next.
Sale, Brahma world can only be a destiny of those who is not, I don't say what that, who not only does jhana, but also those who meditate Brahma Vihara, right?
You can only be a destiny of those who not in dust. Can I make a request? Anybody who write a question, please make it clear and don't write wrong. If you write wrong, I don't know what you are going to say, so I may give you the wrong answer. So can you please rewrite before I answer you? Okay, we come to the next question.
During dying, can a lay person make an aspiration to make triple gem where the liberation has not been attained? Is this also a type of attachment?
This is a wholesome attachment. This is a wholesome desire. It's okay.
Okay. What realm is most likely if the last thought is compassion in wishing for all beings to be free of the same suffering, pain, and currently enduring?
I think he will die as a human or deva. If no jhana, he will die as a human or deva because it's a compassionate thought, ma. It's a good thought. Die as a good thought. will be reborn as human or deva. Okay, next.
What if a dying person is 92 years old and never have any exposure to the Buddha Dharma, fearful and blaming why he is sick and suffer for never do unwholesome deeds?
So you can see his last thought is full of anger, fear, anger, blaming is anger. So you have to try to change his mind. No? Don't let him stay in the anger. Try to tell something good, some good story to him and to her, although he's not exposure to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. But the good story you can tell to him, let him have a joyful and happy mind. Okay, don't let him fall into anger or blaming or fearful state of the mind. You can direct her mind to the good things, to the good things. That is your responsibility. Okay, next.
In Anatta Pinika Sutta, I won't cling to consciousness. My consciousness will not be dependent on consciousness. What is the second consciousness and is different?
What is the second consciousness? The second consciousness, okay, is the second consciousness is past consciousness. Okay? One is we call preceding and succeeding. So let's say I have a thought. I have thought I want to be reborn. I want to reborn in Brahma world. I want to reborn in Deva realm. This is the thought. It's called mental consciousness, right? Okay, now if I realize, then my consciousness arising new. So when I have the thought, okay, I want to reborn in Deva realm, and this thought immediately passed away, right? The thought finished. So my a new consciousness arise. That new consciousness should not dependent on that past consciousness. This is what it means. Mean preceding consciousness and succeeding consciousness. Okay? Succeeding consciousness should not depend on the preceding consciousness. That's what it means. Okay, next.
Silent in Brahma world, which plane can stay to continue practice until Nibbana?
I think you have to go there with your own practice. If you reborn in Brahma world, without know the practice, I don't know whether, I think sure they will have Arya person in the Brahma world, maybe can help you to practice. I think I think there's one plane that you cannot practice one. That type of plane only got body, no mind. How to call?
There's Arupa. One... Arupa, is it? Arupa.
No, there's one plane. I forgot already, but so long, I think you even you reborn in a Brahma world with the aspiration, as I say before, with the aspiration, even I'm reborn in Brahma world, I want to continue my practice until Nibbana. With that wish and aspiration, you may able to meet anyone who can teach you the Dharma. Without that wish, aspiration in your mind, maybe difficult. Okay, how do we know if we have attained jhana? Depends on the five jhana factors. If if they say anapanasati, no, your mind is deeply focused on your breathing, then the five jhana factors are very clear. You have rapture, you have happiness, your mind is fully focused on your breathing. Then your body is very light, you cannot feel the body, you cannot hear the sound. Then five jhana factors are very clear. Okay, so first of all, thank you for inviting me for to share this talk. I hope the talk is helpful for you. Okay. So let us share the merit with all sentient beings. Ita vatang ca amehi sampadang punya sampadang sabbe deva sabbe buddha sabbe satta anumodantu Sappasampatisijiya akasatacha bhummatha deva naga mahidika punyatang anumoditva jirang rakkantu sasanang jirang rakkantu desanang jirang rakkantu mang parang mama punya bagang sabasatanang bajemi te sabe me samang punya bagang labantu sadu
Wow.
sadu sadu may all of you be well and happy.
So I think all of us have gained a lot of wisdom from listening to silent talk and question and answer for the last 2 hours. So we'd like to say three times sadhu to silent. Can we all say together? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you, Saleh. And we'll meet again next time in the Zoom.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Sadhu. Good night.